This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Enjoy the film, Paula?
Very much, darling. Did you?
Yes, but I won't be sorry to get home. I'm darn tired.
You've had a wretched week. All those night calls.
This is probably a list of them waiting when we get home.
Oh, heavens, I hope not. Do you want me to drive?
Not quite that bad, honey. We're almost home. There's not much traffic.
Yes, and besides, you hate to sit in the passenger seat, I know. Tom, what's that? That blue kind of light across the field over there. See it through the trees?
It's probably a house.
Well, there are no houses across there. Besides, look at it. It's quite distinctly blue. What on earth? Did you see the way it flared up suddenly?
I thought I saw something else.
Well, saw what, Tom?
Looked like a man running away from that light. I'm not quite sure. I think I'd better go and find out what's happening.
Medical File, the story of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of a clinical case history, step by step for the doctors who were there.
My name is Tom Abbott. You're a doctor of medicine. You stopped one night on a lonely road because of something you saw. You stopped, and you became a part of the strangest newspaper headlines in a generation.
And now, Medical File.
It was 8:25 p.m. Thursday, September the 4th. It had been a long day. Patients at my consulting rooms all morning, a hurried lunch, hospital rounds for most of the afternoon. At 5 p.m. I had met my wife and seen an early movie. And 8:25 p.m. we were driving home. Along the north road was where we noticed the strange blue light about 100 yards from the highway through a row of trees. And what I saw next made me slow the car to a sudden halt.
Tom, what is it? What did you think you saw?
Looked like a man running away from that light.
And the light's gone, look.
Yet I'm sure I saw someone. I'd really better go and take a look.
Darling, I...
What?
I was going to say perhaps we should be careful. But that'd be stupid, wouldn't it?
Just some kind of flaring light.
Yes, I suppose it was. But... Yes, of course it was. Well, come on, Tom, I'll come with you while you look.
The North Road is an unlit, at times almost deserted highway. There was nothing behind us but the headlights of our own car. Nothing ahead but a dark field. And against the sky, the outline of slowly waving trees. Of the man I thought I'd seen, there was no sign.
I wish we'd brought a torch, Tom. Now that blue light's died down.
It's dark, isn't it?
Yes. Are you sure you really saw someone?
I thought so. This is the only way to make sure.
Yes.
Here, hold my hand.
Tom.
Paula, what is it?
I tripped over... Tom, on the ground.
What's on the ground?
Well, someone's lying there. I tripped over somebody lying on the ground.
Wait a minute. One way to see and... this is it. Whoever he is, he's unconscious.
He's not dead?
No, there's a heartbeat. Pulse is rapid. Here, see if you can give me a hand with him.
Yes.
Get him back to the car.
p.m. We carried the unconscious man to the car and attempted to revive him. When this proved unsuccessful, I drove the rest of the way home, arriving there 10 minutes later.
Tom, I'll open the front door. You bring him inside.
Right.
Where are you taking me?
Oh, hello. Didn't realize you'd come too.
Who are you? What do you want?
Easy, old chap. You've had a fall. I'm a doctor.
Doctor? I don't believe you. You're from that cell? What do you want with me?
Paula, pass the door in my bag, please.
Here.
I saw you hovering up there. I saw you right above my head.
Did you?
I saw you. Round and gray. And that blue fire you shot at me. burned me. I ran away. I know who you are. You don't come from this planet. You... What's that you got?
I just want you to relax.
No! Get away from me! Don't touch me with that needle! Don't touch me!
8:55 p.m., I gave the patient morphia and removed him to the surgery attached to my home. During this time, he muttered continuously about the thing that hovered over his head and about the blue fire that had burned him. It was not until I examined him under the strong light in my surgery that I saw the burn marks clearly visible on his arms and face.
Where am I? What happened to me?
Just relax, Mr. Derrickson. You're in my surgery. I'm a doctor.
You're the one who...
I am the one who gave you a morphine injection to calm you down. Now, if you'll just lie back and relax, my wife's making a cup of tea.
Tea? That sounds normal enough. But how did you know my name? You called me Derrickson. How did you find that out?
I hope you'll forgive me. I took the liberty of checking through your shirt pockets and found a letter addressed to Norman Derrickson. That is you, I take it?
Yes. Derrickson. I'm a school teacher.
My name's Abbott. My wife and I were driving along the North Road, past the open fields near Graysmith Corner, when we saw a kind of blue flare.
You saw it? Then I wasn't imagining things. You did see it?
Yes, we went across to investigate and found you, unconscious.
I was running away. I must have tripped and fallen.
Well, I don't think there's any real harm done, except that you have some minor burns on the arms and face. And probably you'll get a cold from not wearing a coat out on a night like this.
Burns? You said burns?
Yes, don't touch them. I've covered the areas with ointment.
They tried to kill me.
No, Mr. Derrickson.
I tell you they did. That blue flame you saw, they shot it at me.
Who did?
I don't know.
You said something when you were under morphia about a thing hovering over your head. I'm afraid some of this doesn't make sense.
Doesn't it? Then let me tell you, Doctor.
I wish you would.
Let me try and make you understand. I was just out for a walk. It was a nice night, and I felt like a stroll.
Yes?
I walked past Graysmith Corner into the field where you found me. I saw the light. A bluish light shining through the trees.
Well?
I had a flashlight with me. I went over to see what it was. And all of a sudden, I started to feel a strange choking sensation, as if I couldn't breathe.
Choking sensation?
The air all around me was smoky, and it felt hot. I thought it must have been a fire, and then I got the feeling that somebody was watching me.
Go on.
I don't know why, but suddenly I looked up. There were no stars. Everything was blackened out by a huge dark shape about 50 feet above me.
Dark shape?
I must have backed away somehow, because a couple of seconds later, I wasn't underneath it any longer. And I could breathe, and the heat was gone. And I could see what it was.
What was it?
It was a big, circular-shaped kind of object. Smooth and grayish-colored. The upper part of it had a kind of dome, like a turret.
Yes?
Well, I just didn't know what to do. I shone my torch up at it. I suppose that was stupid. And then I heard this sound, like a ratchet, and the turret opened, and this bright ball of fire came straight down at me. I felt it sting my eyes and start to burn me, and it expanded into a kind of mist of white, and I was in the middle of it. I ran, and that's all I remember. Whether I passed out or tripped, well, was something I couldn't say.
Well, Derrickson, you'd better report this. I have to admit I saw the blue light myself. My wife did too. But I don't know.
Don't worry, I'll report it. The sooner the better. I've got my own ideas about what that was tonight.
Yes. I think we'd better call the police.
Well, Doctor, no need for you to stay up any longer, sir. It's been a long night.
Certainly has, Sergeant. What about Mr. Derrickson?
He's gone to the station with the inspector to make a statement. And I understand there'll be someone down from the Air Force Investigating Unit first thing in the morning.
Air Force?
Well, they've got a special intelligence section that reports on unidentified flying objects. They'll certainly want to talk to you sometime tomorrow, Doctor.
You mean you're taking this quite seriously, this story?
What else can we do, sir? You saw the blue flame and the white flare afterwards yourself.
Well, surely there must be some reasonable explanation.
Yeah, I wish there was. It'll be the devil to pay tomorrow with reporters and the like all over the town. Once this news gets out, there's going to be an almighty fuss.
I simply can't believe it.
Strains the imagination, doesn't it, sir? Yet you saw those burns on his arms.
Yes, but...
And there were other things.
What do you mean?
We haven't been wasting time in the 2 hours since you telephoned. For one thing, we sent a man out to that spot on the North Road to have a look around.
At this time of night?
With a spotlight beam on the car, he was able to see enough. We'll confirm it by daylight tomorrow. He saw the grass had been singed all around the spot where Derrickson was standing. And then he saw the trees just above. There were branches broken off as if some large object like a plane had crashed through there. Still, we're only amateurs, Doctor. We'll see what the Air Force think about it in the morning.
We return to Medical Files.
Friday, September the 5th, began early for me. At 7:45 a.m., breakfast was interrupted by the arrival of the Air Force's investigating officer, a flight lieutenant in civilian dress.
Don't let me spoil your meal. I'll just sit over here and thumb through a magazine until you're finished.
Why don't you join us, Flight Lieutenant?
Yes, please do.
Thank you, but I've had breakfast. I was called out at 0400 this morning to drive down here and look into this thing.
And the Air Force must take this pretty seriously, eh?
We take all UFO reports seriously, Doctor.
UFO?
Unidentified flying objects. The newspapers refer to them as flying saucers.
Oh.
I know. Sounds rather fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, frankly, it does. Another cup of coffee, darling, please.
Yes, Tom.
It sounded a bit fantastic to me when they first threw the job at me. But after I investigated a couple of dozen cases...
Well, you mean you really think there's something in these stories?
Well, sometimes we're left with facts we're unable to explain.
That's a fairly evasive answer, Flight Lieutenant.
It's about as far as I'm prepared to go, Doctor. You see, as we all know, there's been a wave of flying saucer stories. They started in America, they spread to most other countries. There are reports of people seeing UFOs pretty well all the time. Most of it is probably imagination and is written off as harmless. But once in a while, there comes a story like this. Can you imagine the way the papers will enjoy themselves over last night's affair?
Is there any need for the newspapers to know?
They're pretty good at finding out, Doctor. Can you visualize the headlines? Flying saucer attacks man on North Road. Can you see what that's likely to start?
Yes, I can see it'll start a lot of people panicking.
Exactly, Mrs. Abbott. Our job is to fully investigate this and to try to prove it either a fake or a hoax. That's why my section exists.
But why would it be a hoax?
Well, that's just the point. I've got to find out why, or else give some reasonable explanation.
I think you're going to have your work cut out, old chap. Have you heard about those trees?
I've already been there.
What?
Yes, I know. I got started early. But we have to work quickly.
Was it as bad as the police seemed to think last night?
Well, it was puzzling. There were a couple of patches of scorched grass in the spot where the UFO was supposed to be hovering. And a few branches had been broken. But they were really small branches, and they could have been snapped off by someone climbing the trees and breaking them by hand.
Your idea is not to admit anything, is it, Flight Lieutenant?
We can't afford to, Mrs. Abbott. The grass could have been burnt or singed in some way. Derrickson had a flashlight with him, he claims. You didn't pick that up, did you?
No.
I can't find it anywhere. Frankly, there's nothing that contradicts his story. We're going to put a Geiger counter over the area, take some photographs later. And now we come to you. Doctor, when you reached Derrickson, he was unconscious. Could that have been feigned?
Well, yes, it could. I could only make a hurried examination, and before we reached the surgery, he recovered consciousness. But his heartbeat and pulse, as I tested them later, were accelerated. He was either very scared or very excited.
And the burns? They actually were burns?
Quite definitely.
Deep burns?
No, I wouldn't say so. But they must have been fairly painful. And the hair on the arms and head was singed, indicating a flash heat.
I see. Well, that's very thorough. It's certainly done nothing to contradict this story.
No, I suppose not. Oh, sorry, that's the workaday world intruding. My patients start ringing from about this time.
I'll answer, darling.
Oh, thanks, Paula. Well, what's the next move, Flight Lieutenant?
Yes.
The obvious move now is to check on Derrickson thoroughly.
Uh-huh.
If this is a fake, then a character search should find it out.
Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, excuse me a moment, will you?
Busy.
Oh, what's the trouble, Paula?
It's the Daily Star. They want to interview them.
Tell them nothing doing.
You'd better tell them Dr. Abbott will see them.
Now, wait a minute.
Look,
James.
I'd rather you did see them, Doctor.
But
if you don't mind.
You said you wanted to keep this out of the papers.
I also told you the papers would hear. They don't take kindly to not getting information. They're liable to make the details up for themselves.
Well, what do you want me to tell them?
Just the facts. Play it down as much as you can. I've warned Derrickson to do the same. If we can stop the newspapers getting sensational for 24 hours, perhaps by then we'll have the truth.
You finished taking those angle shots, Jeffries?
Yes.
Right. How about you, Frank? Getting anything on the Geiger counter?
Another peep out of it, sir.
Give it once more around the area, then pack up. I'll meet you back at the hotel.
Right.
Oh, and see if you can find that flashlight. It's still missing. I'm going to talk to a few people in New Derrickson.
Oh, sit down, Flight Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir. You know why I'm here, of course?
Of course, yes. This flying saucer business. It's incredible.
I understand Mr. Derrickson teaches here at your school.
Yeah, quite so. Of course, he's not here at the moment. Those reporter people were hanging about, so I gave him the day off. Can't have that sort of thing around the school, you know.
No, I suppose not. How long has Derrickson been teaching here?
2 years. He came to us with very good references from Cheatham Grammar. Also a splendid war record, so I understand.
Army?
Yes. At least he mentioned so in passing.
Sir, I'd like to know your very candid opinion of Derrickson.
My opinion? Oh, I think he's an excellent fellow. Oh, very good type. Otherwise, he wouldn't have lasted 2 years at my school, Flight Lieutenant.
Well, that's the answer all over town, Doctor. Everyone who knew Derrickson, his headmaster, his fellow teachers, even his landlady. They all say he's a fine person, straightforward, honest. The Geiger counter picked up nothing out there, but we didn't really expect it. What sort of a day did you have?
Oh, ask the reporters. They took up most of it.
Oh, have you seen the evening papers?
Some of them.
It's not as bad as it could be.
Then you haven't seen the Gazette.
Gazette?
It's our main local sheet here. Derrickson has given them what adds up to an exclusive interview. Here, I think you'd better read it.
What on earth?
Yeah, you see what I mean?
In an exclusive interview this afternoon, Norman Derrickson told the Gazette, "I have been questioned by top military and Air Force authorities and sworn to secrecy. They and myself realized that if the truth of what I saw last night was revealed, it would panic the nation."
What? Oh, excuse me. There's a lot more along the same lines. Hello. Yes? Oh, yes, just a moment. It's for you.
Well, if we're downtown at the police station, I'd be here. Thanks. Hello? Yes, Inspector. Yes, I've just been reading it. Hmm? What's that? He has. I see. Yes, I'm very glad you did ring. I'll be down there as soon as I can. Well,
what is it?
The inspector of police just thought I'd like to know. Derrickson has apparently hired himself a press agent. And he's announced all over town that he's negotiating with a big magazine for the national rights to his personal story.
Sure.
You know, Doctor, I get the impression our friend is out to make himself a fast pound or two.
Well, I suppose there's nothing against that.
Nothing. Except until now, there wasn't a motive for any of this. I think Derrickson was just a little too quick with his exclusive panic story and his press agent and his national negotiations. But we'll see, Doctor. We'll see.
Saturday, September the 6th. The papers that day headlined the flying saucer story. A cartoon pictured men from another planet in an all-out attack. Then, Sunday, September the 7th, the picture changed as dramatically and suddenly as it had begun. That morning, the city dailies announced the flying saucer story as a hoax, a complete fake from start to finish. On Monday, September the 8th, Norman Derrickson was arrested.
Well, Doctor, I came to say goodbye and to do some explaining.
Well, one thing I'd like to thank you for, Jacobs. You made it clear to the newspapers that Paula and I were innocent witnesses.
Well, you were taken in by a master of the craft. It could have been anyone else. You happened to be the first car that came along.
But, look here. All those damaged branches and burnt grass.
It happened as we thought it could have happened. He climbed the trees and broke off enough branches to make it effective.
Mm-hmm.
Then he put a plastic blue cover over his flashlight and waited for a car.
And we came along.
He must have seen you slow down, so he lit the sudden flare you saw.
What was it?
Magnesium. A long strip that burnt the grass as well.
Yes, and singed his arms and face.
Oh, no. No, he'd done that a short time before, with matches. He simply singed the skin and made sure he'd have burns to back up his story.
Heavens.
When the magnesium was flaring and you'd stopped the car, he started to run, tripped himself, faked his unconsciousness, and then staged his act back here at your house.
And the flashlight?
He threw it away as he ran. We found it 50 yards off under a shrub.
You mean he confessed all this?
He confessed, all right. You know, he got quite proud of his story. Once he saw that his original purpose had been defeated, and he wasn't going to make any money out of it, he was eager to tell us how clever he'd been.
But what made him confess?
After I found out about that press agent and the magazine deal, I started to do some real probing. He was supposed to have a fine army record. Well, I checked on that. He was discharged from the army, dishonorably, found AWL and wearing an officer's uniform. Needless to say, he was actually a private.
Yes. The kind who had to be bigger than he was, eh? Yes, I've met a few.
He was also supposed to have been a successful master at several other schools. None of them had ever heard of him. How he got away with it, I'll never know, but some of his kind are lucky for a time. But once we got these facts, the rest was just a matter of convincing Derrickson the game was up.
And, sir, you've disproved another flying saucer story, eh, Jacobs?
I know what you're thinking. But don't believe they're all engineered by frauds, Doctor. Once in a while, you know, we really get one we can't explain. Well, goodbye, Doctor. Anytime you see an object in the sky that you can't identify, just let me know.
Yes, I will. On October the 28th, 7 weeks after his arrest, Norman Derrickson was found guilty of fraud and sentenced to 6 months' imprisonment. He may not have made the money he set out to make, but at least he achieved fame in the records of UFO investigation, which, to Norman Derrickson, was probably a poor consolation.
Medical File is the story of the men and women who in city hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. As Dr. Tom Abbott, you heard Derek Barnes. As Flight Lieutenant Jacobs, Brian Anderson. With June Salter, Don Pascoe, Gordon Glenwright, and Charles Tasman. Medical File is written by Peter Yeldon and directed by John Saul for Grace Gibson Radio Productions.